I'm excited. You know, we've been in this series on spiritual warfare, which is really an awesome series to kick off. I think it's incredible because I don't think a lot of churches are talking about spiritual warfare, because it's like, if you go into talking about demons and stuff, people kind of panic, even though they're real. So we'll keep it, you know, kind of, we'll hold back a little bit this morning. But, you know, we're in this series called Struggles, but the title of my sermon today is A Fight in the Night. And I'm going to pray. So God, I just thank you for what you want to speak to the 11 o'clock service. God, I thank you that you allow their ears to be open to hear what you want them to hear from you this morning. And God, I thank you that they're open to hear, but God, that their eyes be open to the things maybe they've never seen before and illuminated by your word this morning as I preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, a fight in the night. Have you guys ever realized that at nighttime is when you feel like the most like distressed or all hell breaks loose at night? Okay, good. Four of you, so I don't feel alone. It usually is. It's when you wake up. I don't wake up in the middle of the day. I wake up in the middle of the night. You know, I wish I could just wake up in the middle of the day and my day be interrupted, but that's not how it works. I wake up in the middle of the night, or last night, my daughter is shouting as loudly as she could to the camera, "I need some water." So literally until I get there, over and over and over again, she knows what she wants. So we're gonna steer that into the right direction. You know, growing up, I was also totally fascinated with heaven and everything that has to do with prayer. And I mean, I was a different kid. I would preach to my baby dolls and baptize them and all kinds of stuff. And so I got this idea in my head. I don't know where I got it from. It was probably like a false teaching I heard or something. I don't know. But I was like seven. So who was I listening to? I have no clue. But I had this idea in my head that when you go to heaven, you can breathe underwater. And so I love to swim. I was on a swim team and I used to swim competitively, you know, at second grade. I know I made that sound really cool too. I was like, I was in second grade, but I was in the newspaper and I have the clipping. And it's as big as I'll ever get, folks. So just let me ride it for a second. Okay. And so it was super exciting. And I remember love swimming. So I was thinking, how cool would that be? So I'm laying in bed one night and I promise you, no joke, I think I hear the Spirit of God tell me, I'm taking you to heaven tonight just for you to check it out. Like, not like, hey, you're dying tonight. Just, hey, you're going to heaven. And I am like super pumped. So I was thinking, I bet he's going to take me swimming. So I went and got my bathing suit on. I stood up on my day bed because those were cool back then, because it was like a sofa and a bed, right? You know what I'm saying? No? Okay, cool. I'm turning 40 in like 2 weeks. So I get, none of you guys know what day beds are. So it's like a futon. You know what a futon is? Okay, perfect. A futon, whatever. That's how I say it. So I stand up on my bed, bathing suit on and all, put my hands up and say, God, I'm ready. Thank God my parents didn't have a camera in the room, because I don't know what they would have thought if they would have turned it on and been like, what is she doing? I stood there, I don't know for how long, because I woke up the next morning still in my bathing suit. So at some point I fell and went back to sleep. Sadly to say, I did not go swimming with Jesus. So it was a huge disappointment I had to get over for a couple years that I felt like he let me down. No, I'm totally kidding. To this day, I'm like, why didn't you take me swimming? But I was super fascinated with everything that had to do with Jesus and heaven and all this kind of stuff. And when I would pray, I would picture the angels and the demons fighting, and then I would pray harder and I'd see them winning. I had just an awesome imagination. And I think sometimes we have been afraid maybe to look at spiritual stuff in more of a tangible way. And so this morning I want to take two men who both had different experience fighting in the night. They both were going to deal with something that was going to come at them, but how they handled it is key. Okay. So I'm going to start us off in Luke 22. Actually, let me just explain this. They're at the Last Supper. We're totally talking about Jesus and Peter. So, I just gave you a heads up. And they're at the Last Supper and Jesus is trying to explain to them, hey, I'm going to do something really difficult. This is what's happening. And these guys start arguing like about heaven and who's going to be sitting where and who's going to be greater. And this is what they're arguing about in this moment where Jesus is trying to say, hey, I'm going to like die tonight. You know, and have you ever been in situations where you feel like you're trying to tell your friends something like really like traumatic's going on, and then they all start like making jokes and laughing, and that doesn't happen to anybody else? Okay, so that happens to me. And or I'm that friend that totally is talking to somebody and they'll be talking to me and I just walk off. I do that all the time. I did it this morning. I don't mean to do that. I'm like a spaz half the time. And so here they are being this way, and it was interesting to me. Because I started to notice, and I'm going to highlight Peter. Peter was more concerned with his position than his process. And what I mean by that is we can get so hung up on what our position is. I remember when I was wanting to get pregnant, and it took us 5 years, that position I wanted was to be a mother. I wanted that position, but yet I was in the midst of a process that was going to get me to the promise, but I was more concerned about my position. Get what I'm saying? And I think in this moment, Peter's thinking, yeah, but what's my position in heaven going to be? And Jesus is looking at him going, well, in Matthew 16, well, I mean, he didn't quote the Bible to him because they hadn't written it yet. But he just would have said, hey, a couple weeks ago, remember when I was telling you, Peter, that you are the rock that I'm going to build my church on? See, you're in a process to get to that promise. But right now you're more concerned with your position. And I need you not to be concerned with that. So then he goes on to tell him, by the way, tonight, all of you, you're going to desert me. Okay, so Jesus is an honest and to the point person. That would be like me sitting down with my friends going, tonight, all you guys are going to be jerks. I mean, I think sometimes we read the Bible like everybody's just like sweet and playing violins and we're like fat baby angels on a cloud and we just all love each other. No, they were just fighting about who was going to be greater. And Jesus like, listen, I don't care what y'all think right now. You're all going to desert me tonight. And he said, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised from the dead, I'll go ahead of you to Galilee and I'll meet you there. Peter interrupts Jesus. Listen, even if these guys all leave you, I'm not going to. I'm paraphrasing. This is not scripture. But you got to understand it. He said, I'll never desert you. Jesus replied, actually, I'm going to tell you the truth. You ever had somebody tell that? Well, actually, you don't really understand what's going on. Right now, this is the truth. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny 3 times that you even know me. No, even if I have to die, I'm never going to deny you. And then all the disciples followed suit and said, hey, we feel the same way. Here's my first point. Being ready for the fight doesn't mean you understand the battle. Peter in his mind is ready for this fight. Whatever it's going to be, whatever's going to happen, he says, I'm ready. But he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand the battle that's getting ready to happen. You've ever been in situations like that? I remember when my parents signed me up for soccer. I thought I was ready. So I was running the opposite way of all the other children and the parents. Okay, sports parents. There needs to be a deliverance line at these places. I'm thinking about just setting up a tent. Anybody need prayer? Right here. Because you need deliverance. It's a game. Don't send me an email. Okay, so I'm not even giving you my email address. Listen, so I'm running the opposite way and I'm thinking I'm intimidating everybody so much because the other team was just staring at me. They don't even want to come and get the ball. And then all of a sudden I hear that one parent, we all know that parent, shows up to every game, screams louder than everybody else. I just was at a game where that was happening and she sat really close to me. I thought, man, you love your child. Okay, and so until I heard that voice, hey, stupid, you're running the wrong way. I'm in second grade. I wasn't ready. I quit that day. I was not ready for that because I wasn't prepared. And I think a lot of times we think we're ready for something. We think we're prepared for it, but we're not. Matthew 26, 36 says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and some two sons, somebody's sons, James and John. I ain't going there. And he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. I don't think any of the disciples knew what was coming next. I don't think anybody knew what was happening next. Because I think in our mind, we think we know something. We think we have an idea of what something's going to look like. I remember when I was little, we got a used trampoline given to us. And I was super excited till my mom sat there on July 4th with sparklers on it. She's not here today, so I'm going to tell the story. It burned a hole in our trampoline. I mean, what do you think fire does to nylon? You know, because I was like, are we sure? She's like, oh, it's fine, you know. So we had this huge hole. So I was just distraught. And I was sitting out and next day, I was just sitting outside and I was just looking at it. All of a sudden, I had this awesome idea just came to me. And I ran inside the house and I told Mom, I know how we're going to win. What's that show called? America's Funniest Home Videos. I know how we're going to do it. I almost said America's Got Talent. That's not it. It wasn't on then. And this wouldn't have been a talent. And I was super excited. I said, I'm going to go figure some stuff out. She's like, go right ahead. So I go outside. And so the trampoline's right here, and it's got a huge hole in it. And then right next to it is a tree, and then there's a swing connected to the tree. And then right here is a fence. And you could hold the swing from the trampoline, and then you could jump off the swing onto the side of the fence as long as you grabbed a hold of the side of the house. I know it's amazing I'm even alive today. And so I told my brother, I got this idea. I said, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to nonchalantly act like I'm swinging, you know, because I got up on the fence. I'm going to swing, and I'm going to jump up in the air. Like I'm like, oh, I'm going to go jump on the trampoline, and then I'll fall through the hole. But no one will know that there's a hole. Because the way we'll do it, and this will be perfect. So for an hour and a half, I do this over and over and over and over again. And my brother's just watching me. And understand, underneath the trampoline, there's a bar. So I'm hitting it every time, like sometimes with my butt, sometimes with my knees. You know, just depend on how I fell. Sometimes, I mean, because I'm falling straight through a hole. My brother walks over to me, and he goes, it's looking good. I said, great. He said, the problem is we don't have a video camera. Like, oh, totally right. I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't prepared. So I went inside and said, we have to have a video camera. Well, you don't have money for a video camera. Well, we'll have a lot of money if you get a video camera, because I'm telling you this is going to work. Then I went outside to even practice it the more to try to convince my parents they should buy a video camera because I was doing it so well. As you know, I didn't win. Okay. So sometimes we think we're prepared for something and we're not. And that's what we're going to see in this scripture. So we see that Jesus says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch for me. He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering, what are you saying? Please do not ask me to do this, and let it be taken away. Let somebody else do it. I want your will to be done and not mine. Now I want us to pause here for a second, because this is something I think we skip through because we know this story. How many times in your life have you gotten to a place where you think, I can't do this job anymore? I don't know if I can do this marriage anymore. I don't know if I can be a mom or a dad anymore. I don't know if I can be a friend anymore. I don't know if I can even go on anymore. And yet, that moment connects us to Jesus more than any other moment, I believe, in Scripture. You know, Luke's gospel talks about, you know, Luke was a physician. He was a doctor. And so a lot of people, you know, some people preach he was sweating blood. You don't, every interpretation of the Bible says like sweating blood. It never says it was blood. So what it was saying was Luke actually put that in, because what he was saying was there is a medical condition for that. And that's how much he was sweating. It was as if blood could have just been dripping out of his pores. Okay, so let's pause for a second. This is a lot of anguish in this moment. There's a lot of pain. Should I say maybe anxiety, maybe even a panic attack in a second happening to Jesus? But I think we skip over this, but this is the most real, vulnerable side we see of the Son of God for a moment. And what he's showing us, and why it's in the Word of God, is for us to understand it's okay to feel like you can't do it anymore. And it's actually okay to be honest and say, I don't think I can do this anymore. See, I don't know where we got it from that we believe that the stronger you are as a Christian, the more you can say certain things and be a certain way. When to me, Jesus was the pinnacle of all Christians, and yet he could be vulnerable enough to say, I know this very thing that I was put on this earth for. I know this very thing you asked me to do, and it's now coming to that moment. I'm going to let you know, I don't think I can do this anymore. I don't think I can go through with this. And if you look at scripture, look at this. He says, for the spirit's willing, but the body is weak, is what he tells them when they're not praying, that's awesome friends right there. Jesus left them a second time, and he says it again. So that tells me it's okay to go to God with the same thing over and over and over again till you get what you need. He returned to them again. He found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. He went and prayed for a third time, saying the same thing. Here's the Son of Man, built for this moment. I'm sure God and Jesus had a great conversation before he sent him down on the earth and said, here's the plan. I'm going to put you inside of a virgin. You're going to be born. You're going to be a really cool kid that gets lost a lot, and your parents aren't going to know where you are, but they're going to be fine with it. So just go with it. Lost their kid for 3 days and they weren't even worried. I mean, ask a parent now, 3 minutes. It's like, Jaylee, I thought she ran off. So I mean, I yelled in the store. I am that person, because if you were taking my kid, I mean, everybody in the place is going to know, you know? And she was actually just right there. I don't know what happened. It's cool. And so it was a weak moment. And here he is in this moment. And God and Jesus are communicating, and he's saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to do some awesome miracles. You're going to see people's lives changed. But then I'm going to need you to die for everybody. Now, understand, Jesus is in heaven. He's never experienced pain, anguish, fear. Yeah, no problem. Sign me up. Now, in the moment, when he felt it, I don't think I can do this. And I think he left to go get some encouragement. Let's go back to Peter. Peter, in this moment where he's trying to tell God, I'm never going to deny you, Jesus kind of snaps back at him a little bit and says, little do you know, you're actually going to deny me that you even know me tonight. And then we fast forward, they're in the garden. He needs Peter to pray, and he comes, and Peter keeps falling asleep. I think Peter felt in that moment, I've disappointed Jesus. And Jesus needed encouragement. You know, that's why I always say we need people. Even Jesus kept going back. Okay, I'm not getting what I need in prayer by myself. Let me go talk to them. How many times you've done that? You're kind of in prayer, but then you think, maybe if I call this friend, maybe if I call this person, they can encourage me. And he went, they didn't do it. So he goes back. God, I'm telling you, I don't think I can do this. And then he goes back. They're sleeping again. And he goes back a third time. See, I don't think we see the humanity of what's happening to Jesus in this moment. But when he goes back to the third time and he cries out to God, something takes place. Because all I know is in the next minute when he gets up and goes, he's ready. He's ready. Because his voice is the only thing that can sustain you in the struggle. You can't muster up your own strength. It's his voice. See, that's the difference there. Whatever moment Jesus and God had, something took place. We don't have it here, but we know, and I know God's nature because that's what I can go off. He spoke strength into Jesus where all of a sudden, after three times of saying, I don't know, but I know I'm supposed to say your will, not mine. Because how many of us have prayed that way? I'll say, God, I remember crying out to God. God, I want to have a child. I've tried to do this thing right. I've done everything that I know to do right. But if it's not in the cards, you try to talk yourself into feeling better about the situation you're in instead of just stopping and hearing what he would say. And God would always say, it's coming. You know, we have Rachel Hickson that's coming next week, and she's amazing. She's from England. I absolutely love her. But I'll never forget, I was at one of her meetings, and you know, she has a very prophetic anointing and a prophetic voice. And I remember thinking, she's going to give me a profound word that I can't wait to hear. Like, I was excited. She was coming over to me, and I was thinking, speak something. And I knew she knew that we were believing God for a baby. So she comes over to me, and I'm waiting for this unbelievable, incredible word. And she looks at me, and she said, God knows your child's birthday. I'm like, that's it? That's it? Like, no, you're not like, you know, though, stay at the Lord, blah, blah. You know, I was just waiting like fire or something awesome. Even though it was such a simple statement, it's the most profound statement that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I started to realize, wait, that's already been settled. Like when the Bible says that those things that have already been settled in heaven, those things that have already been taken care of, that our timeline is from the end to the beginning, that means God already knows what's ahead of us and what's coming and where we're going. When that says that, that means her birthday was already set. So I just needed to sit back and wait on God. But see, we time bothers us. You know, we do live in a society, if we don't get our coffee in 2.5 minutes straight, we're sending an email to Starbucks because you should know, because I know your protocols, so have it to me by then. And you didn't smile. And your bathroom is messy now. Yes, I send a picture. I know I am that person and I need deliverance, and it's fine. I'm being honest about it now. I'm like, look at these. One is happening in here. Do people know how to scrub? I know it's okay. We pray daily for my deliverance. So here we are in these moments of Jesus is sitting here and he's thinking, this is what I need. And you're not giving it to me. And I need to feel believed in. And I need to feel like something can strengthen me in this moment. And it was his voice. It was his voice. Was his voice. You know what's interesting is the next thing that we see is we see Peter in this moment after. And I love this. This is what I love about the Bible, because right after he comes back the third time, this is my favorite, because Jesus is really savage and I love it. Then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep, have your rest. Oh, but look, the time has come. Your parents ever do that to you? Sweetie, you can sleep in. I'm kidding. Get up now. You know what I mean? It's like there was that moment, you know, you have that moment where you think you're going to get some awesome rest, or somebody's like, hey, I'm totally kidding. I didn't do that for you. You're like, what? That's what Jesus did. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry that I keep bothering you, that I'm to a point of anguish to death. And I don't know if you know all the anxiety and everything I've been facing over here, but go ahead and rest. Oh, sorry. You can't. The time has come. I mean, Jesus is awesome. We got to read this Bible like with understanding. Somebody just needs to reenact the whole thing like with attitude. And I think we would understand so many different things. So all of a sudden we see this and he said, let's get up. The betrayer's here. So he knows they're coming. He's in a totally different mode. You see, he's being funny and he's ready to take it on. That totally switched, because why? When his voice speaks, something shifts. And that's what, but do we get ourselves in that place to hear his voice? Do we get ourselves there so we can know? John 18:10, because I like the way this one reads. When Simon Peter drew a sword and slashed off the right ear of that guy, the high priest's slave. But Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into its sheath. It just means like a belt. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me? So not only did he go from, I can't do this. He's like, I was born for this. Am I not ready for this? See, in this moment, I've watched Peter worry about his position. We've watched Peter feel like he's disappointed Jesus. And in this moment, I think he feels like, this was what I was waiting for. This is the battle. All right. He said, I was going to deny him. I'll show him how much I'm not going to deny him and how much I believe in him and know him. I'm going to cut this dude's ear off to show him I'm ready. But that wasn't his fight. That wasn't his battle. And I think in the moment where Jesus goes, it's not what you're supposed to be doing, Peter felt like Jesus denied him. And I think that's what spurred on the emotions where we see he walks away. Because you ever feel like you've disappointed somebody close to you? And it doesn't feel good. Because here's the point. Struggles are not won in places. They're won in his presence. And see, Peter had this moment where he could have been praying. All right, Jesus warned me that I'm going to deny him, but I want to pray. Because if he had been in tune, he would know. I mean, let me be honest. They've been together 3 years. He knew Jesus had to die. They had talked about it. So for him to try to stop the very thing that has been orchestrated showed how off he was in this moment being connected to the will of God. And I think sometimes we're fighting in battles and we think we're winning and the enemy is laughing because we are fighting something that wasn't even the battle that was coming up against us. So when the real battle comes, we're not ready. We're drawing a sword when we're supposed to fall on our knees and begin to pray. And listen, God is not afraid of your questions and he's not afraid of your anger. And I think we've got to realize that, you know, it's interesting to me that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and he advocates for us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was the only one that ever experienced the kind of pain that we do when we feel lonely, when we feel like no one cares, when we feel like there's not enough in us to do this, when we feel like giving up. He's been there. I think we forget that in this moment, anytime you've ever dealt with fear or anxiety or panic attacks or or something has happened that wasn't planned. Jesus has felt those emotions. Because in the garden, he said, I feel agony as to death. Listen, I have felt some agony in my life. I don't think I ever felt it to that extreme. So that tells me whatever was happening emotionally in him was extreme. That's why it says, call out on the most beautiful name of Jesus. The name that is above every name. Why? Because he felt what you're feeling. He understands where you're at and what you're going through. That's why he's our advocate. But do we stop and say, okay, Jesus, you have been here before and I need you. And I think we read through the Bible so quickly. And because we know the story, hey, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. And we haven't stopped to say, wait a second. He's been where I've been and he has felt how I've felt. And I think that's where we need to be real with where we're at, church. I don't think it's not a bad thing to say, I feel this way. I feel like giving up. I feel like quitting. Because even Jesus was ready to quit. Even Jesus didn't want to do it. I mean, he lived for this moment. This is what it all built up for. None of the, if he hadn't gone through it, church, I hope you understand, we wouldn't be here today. None of the other miracles, he'd just been a cool guy that did some cool stuff. But whatever God spoke to him and whatever peace and whatever strength he gave him in that moment, I pray that you find a place to do that. I pray that you find the courage to say how you really feel and what you're really going through. Because we live in a society that tries to constantly portray perfectionism and this is what it looks like to be a perfect mom and this is what it looks like to be a perfect dad and this is what it looks like to be a perfect pastor and a perfect doctor and a perfect teacher and a perfect businessman and a perfect businesswoman. And what God is saying is you're perfect in who I've made you to be because it's who I say you are. Listen, I don't want to pastor like everybody else. I want to pastor the way that God's called us to pastor. I want to do it for show. I want to do it so people can fall madly in love with Jesus because that's what we're here for. But I want to do it with transparency to say I've been in those places where I've been in the bathroom floor and I've cried out and said, God, I don't understand. And you need to help me trust you because in this moment, I'm questioning you. It's okay. You know, God, we hear all the time that God has a perfect plan and he does. But people mess up that perfect plan. We see that with Adam and Eve. I know that God's perfect plan wasn't for my dad to leave when I was one. But God ended up healing things, even though that did happen. And I don't know what your story is. I don't know what you've been through. But just know this. God says, I can turn good from bad things. I can make you whole, but I need you to tell me how you feel. And if Jesus could do it with God, who he had worked out this whole thing for, not just one time, not two times, three times, he's negotiating. I can't do this. So I would encourage you, quit being so hard on yourself when you feel like you want to give up. We've all been there. What I want to encourage you to do is ask Jesus to help you because he knows. Jesus is so much closer to our pain than we realize. He gets it. He gets it. And I think the hardest times for him are watching when we go through it because I think he goes, man, I know how that feels. I remember feeling so alone in the garden. I remember feeling like I couldn't do it. I remember feeling all the fear of what I was about to walk through and all the pain and the anguish and the separation from you. And I remember feeling that that's how they're feeling right now. And there's a connection in that moment with us being real and raw with Jesus to say, this is where I'm at. But knowing there's an understanding ear behind what we're saying. Knowing he's there to hear us. If you'll just stand with me this morning, I just want to pray just over us as a church right now and just individually what we're facing. God, I thank you for this message because God, I know what it's done for me. It's connected me to you in a way I hadn't seen before. I've known the story since I was 3 years old, but I didn't connect that you knew what it was like to feel scared and to feel fear and to feel overwhelmed and feeling that wanting to give up. And so God, I pray for every person in this place that has felt that way. And God, I thank you that you give them a new sense of purpose. That Jesus, you connect with them right now and say, I know what you're going through. I know what you're facing, but I am here. I'm still working miracles. I'm still healing the blind and healing the lame. And I'm still speaking words of life into hopeless situations. God, let us hear you this morning. Not the cliche phrases we've gotten so good at saying as Christians, but God, the real stuff that we're dealing with. And we just want to hear your words. God, speak to us this morning. Change us, God, from within. If you're in this place this morning, and we never want to close out a service without giving an opportunity for you to accept Jesus. Maybe you did it when you were younger, but you've kind of walked away from the Lord. We want to give you an opportunity to walk back. That's what's so awesome about God. He never gives up on us. He just never does. There's nothing you can ever do to separate you from the love of the Father. I don't care how bad you think you are. Nothing. That word in Greek, nothing, actually means nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of the Father. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus in your heart, but you want to take time to do that right now. I just encourage you. I just want you to raise your hand so that I can see you, because I just want to meet you. I want to pray with you to accept Jesus in your heart this morning. Because I promise you, it's the best decision you'll ever make. I feel like there's some people in this room this morning, but you know what? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to encourage you, say this prayer with you this morning. Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Heal me from every wound, from every fear. Wash my sins as white as snow. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen.